Christian Parenting.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy that we are entering the month of March together. Spring is almost here, and I'm super excited to get to share a really special conversation today. Many of you know I've been out to Focus on the Family for a couple interviews, Colorado Springs. It's beautiful. Love the people at Focus. And when you're a guest at Focus on the Family, you get a little goodie bag. They give you a couple books, cute coffee mug, that sort of thing. And in my goodie bag was a book called Finding Home, by Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family. This is an imperfect path to faith and family. And it's really Jim Daly's story of being raised as a foster child, as his mom passed away early and his dad kind of checked out, some of the really hard and wild things he went through, but that ultimately led him to what he's doing now as president of Focus on the Family. It is a story of redemption and hope and grace. It is really, really a touching story. So I was so moved by that I reached out and asked Jim if he would come on the podcast to share some of his story with all of you. And he said yes, and I just love this interview so much. So whether you're going through a hard time in your own family right now, maybe you came from a difficult past, whatever situation you're in, I think that Jim's story is going to encourage you and inspire you to always see God's hand at work, knowing that he's writing your story for his glory and your good. So without further ado, here's Jim Daly and I hope you're encouraged. Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Monica, it's great to be with you in freezing Colorado.
I'm jealous over here as I'm like sweating in Hawaii. I would love to see some snow right now.
Yeah. Well, we have almost 2 feet of it here, so we'll give
That's
you
wild.
Some.
That is wild. Well, I feel like we are kind of switching places because I've been blessed to be there in Colorado with you in your studio, which is a little more beautiful and fancy than mine. But this is fun to get to switch seats and ask you some questions today. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I so appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be interesting, hopefully.
Yes, probably a little bit different. Well, I'm going to ask you some questions about your life and the work you do. But first, give a quick introduction for those who don't know you.
Yeah, wow. A quick introduction. You know, Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family. I was bewildered when Jim Dobson said, "Would you like to take this over?" I was like, "No way." I'm sure we'll talk more about why I thought that at the time. But, you know, it's been a great run, 2005 to currently being the president. And before that, I worked here at Focus for 16 years prior. So I've been here 35 years.
Wow.
And helping to put my shoulder into the advancement of family and helping families. And it's been a great run. I actually did my MBA. I was a business guy. I worked for International Paper. And somebody called from Focus and said, "Hey, would you ever think about working in a nonprofit?" To which I said, "Not really."
Isn't
and then
wild?
They called back, and my wife, thankfully, my wife Jean, was so encouraging and said, "Hey, make the decision you think the Lord wants us to make, and I'm with you."
Wow.
That was so confidence building for a husband. And she's my star. So, yeah. So here
I hope
we are.
To meet her one day.
Yeah, it'd be great.
She sounds pretty special.
She is.
Well, after being there with you, I came back with a few books, and one of the books I brought home was called Finding Home, An Imperfect Path to Faith and Family, and it's really your story, and as I read it, I was like, goodness, first of all, how many times did I have to fight back tears, because, wow, this is a story no one could make up, and I just loved hearing your journey from where you started, and so I wanted to bring you on to share that and also to kind of allow that to encourage some of the moms out there who might be in imperfect situations. Maybe they were raised in imperfect families or have some things from their past that are hard. But to see where you are now, it just blows my mind. God is so good.
God is so good.
Yeah.
Exhibit A.
You right?
Know, when Dr. Dobson, we were walking down the hall and he said to me, "You know, the board and I think you're the one to take this over." I was coming from such a broken place. I mean, my mom and dad divorced when I was 5 because of alcoholism, basically my dad could not shake that, that beast, and it destroyed us. You know, I love my dad. He was, in many ways, he was a good dad, but in other ways, he was not a good dad. And that was the beginning. And then my mom remarried when I was 8. She then died when I was 9 and a half of cancer. We got back from the funeral. The stepdad, Hank, had our stuff packed into little boxes. And he walked out of the back bedroom and said, I can't take it. I'm not going to be your dad. And got in a taxi and took off for the airport. And to which I then was in foster care. And it just rolled on from there. I think, you know, reading the book, it, you know, it just got worse. It didn't get better.
Yeah, exactly. And I kept waiting.
Yeah. And then, you know, then a football coach took me to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He just knew I needed help. I don't know what signs he saw. I perceived myself as a pretty steady 15-year-old. But, you know, I was a rascal. I had that in me. I at that time, I'm living with my 19, 20-year-old brother. And I, after football games, I'd say, hey, what time you want me to come home? He'd say 2, 3 in the morning should work. And I remember thinking, I'll try to stay out that late.
You know? Sure.
That was the environment I was in. So there were very little boundaries. But the Lord was so gracious. Looking back now and knowing God's hand on my collar, the reason I had kind of a steep consciousness about not doing some things was really God's influence in my life. And and so that's the awesomeness of it, that God, there's nobody beyond the reach of God. And it just gave me a passion for the family. And there's so many stories wrapped up in all of that brokenness. But man, God is a healer of the broken pieces, and he glues us back together like Humpty Dumpty.
He does. I love that. Well, like you said, the story going from your early years on, just it seemed like each chapter, there were more twists and turns that were really painful. There's something about kids. I think as a mom, when I hear something painful going on in a kid's life, I can't take it. Like, it's really hard for me. And to think what you walk through, can you share a little bit more, maybe a story from some of those early years before things started to take a turn?
Yeah, I mean,
there's some wild ones.
The book is a great mom book because my mom was not perfect, but she was awesome. And you can be both of those things.
Yes.
You know, she had a great sense of humor. She had a rough life. I mean, she worked 2 or 3 jobs. She had 5 kids and worked. We didn't have welfare and scrapped by. I remember there were times that we didn't have milk and I would eat, and I wouldn't recommend this, but I'd have Cheerios with Kool-Aid because we didn't have milk, and it's a gross flavor. Let
that
me
is
tell you.
Disgusting.
But, you know, so much of that. But somehow, like only a mom can do, she was able to show us love, show us concern. She was in the PTA working as hard as she was working.
Wow.
She wrote plays for the school theater department. I mean, she just amazing. And then on top of that, just all her own personal loneliness that now as an adult, I can understand. You know, you got 5 kids you're trying to feed, pay the rent. I mean, it gave me a deep appreciation for single parent moms, obviously, because my mom was one.
Yeah.
But I think those stories, I mean, probably the one lesson out of my childhood I try to help parents understand is if you have a catastrophic diagnosis, teach your kids what's going on. Tell them what's going on. Nobody talked to me about it. They thought I was too young and too incapable. And so I went from loving my mom and her in the back bedroom for weeks on end, sick with colon cancer, to my older brother coming home from the Navy and telling me, mom is dead. I thought she was still in the back room. But in the middle of the night, they had to take her to the hospital. And you know, it was so much of a jerk emotionally going from maybe my mom has a cold, which is what I thought.
Yeah, that's all you
knew. To the next day learning that my mom had died.
Wow.
It was like everything inside of me getting ripped out.
Yeah.
Because she was my world. She was everything to me.
Yes.
And, you know, I just, that's probably, that was the hardest part. When I read the audio portion of the book and we talked about my mom's funeral you know, everybody said, lean in and kiss your mom goodbye and lay a rose down. Of course, we did everything by age order with the kids. And I'm the youngest of five. And my closest sibling is 6 years from me. So they're much older, like 1 year apart. And then I was the accident baby. And so I'm trying to be the sophisticated, you know, kid that was behaving like my older siblings. And I remember reaching into the casket and just touching her hand. And it was cold. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't lean in there and kiss her. It was just like, And then everybody told me not to cry. And I remember turning from the casket. And she was a waitress. And, I mean, she had quite a clientele. Larry from the Three Stooges was one of her customers. I actually had lunch with him. My mom called me and said, hey, you want to have lunch with Larry from the Three Stooges?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that kind of thing. And then turning, and there's probably 200-300 people at the funeral, and just saying to myself, don't cry. Don't cry.
No.
And walking by all these people I don't know looking at me by myself.
No.
You know, we all left that spot looking into the casket, turning. It was probably the loneliest moment in my life.
Oh.
Like, where am I going? And then that night, I was in a foster home. That night.
Yeah. Tell us, because I mean, your family being the youngest of five, I know that ended up playing a big role in how you did grow up. But obviously there wasn't therapy. You didn't get a counselor right off the bat, right? So can you kind of just give us that next step before we move on? Because it is hard, but I think it's part of your story that's really powerful.
Yeah, it was. You know, and the thing about it, let me say, the Lord and all of this. I was not a Christian yet.
Yeah.
At least I didn't know I was not a Christian. I think the Lord already had His eye on me. I like to say a Christian in escrow. All the paperwork was on the desk. I just hadn't stamped the commitment.
That.
But it felt like that. I always had a sense that there was that God was true. And my mom, we went to church a couple of times a year, Easter and Christmas, like so many people today.
Right.
But it did make a difference. It made an imprint, and it was a beginning, a small seed, and a handful of people watered that seed. But at that time, I can remember thinking this is really hard stuff, but I never, the resiliency that I think my mom began to build into me as a young child, which was critical, I felt like I could withstand this. It's okay. I'm not, there's got to be somebody worse off than me. I'm 9 years old thinking that.
Wow.
There's got to be somebody else worse than me.
Wow.
And I just remember going to the foster family. Their last names were the Reels. And they were just, you know, I thought, okay, we kind of have a dysfunctional family. Whoo, their family was capital D dysfunctional.
Bizarre.
And, you know,
crazy stuff there.
It was a tough time. It was a tough time. And, you know, it was just not healthy. And my brother knew one of their sons. That's the connection.
Yeah.
And we had to move like 120 miles away. So I went from a big city environment to a small rural 1,200 population little town. And, you know, it was just really tough. I felt isolated. The dad would accuse me of things that weren't true. One of their little 8-year-old son stole things from me. I didn't have that much. And I remember it was like four headless G.I. Joes. Somewhere I knocked their heads off. But you know, I found them in his drawer, and I would go to his mom and dad and say, Mr. and Mrs. Real, you know, Marky has stolen some things from me. And I remember her looking at me and say, you know, Marky would never do that. You're just not fitting in with our family. And I think, Monica, one of the things, even at that age, the great thing was it was giving me an appetite for truth. Because these adults didn't, like, they didn't know the truth. That may be true that you believe your son wouldn't do these things, but he did them.
He did.
And I know it, and you don't, and you're the adult, and I'm the child.
Wow.
What does that say about you? Those are the things that I would think. Like, how come adults do not know the truth? And I think it helped me in the formation of my faith. I mean, those little lessons as a child.
Yes.
That little watering of the seed that the Lord did. And, you know, even in hard stuff, maybe especially in hard stuff, I was able to learn those lessons. So I'm a big believer in being in the valley because that's where God is. You want to deepen your relationship with Christ, go to the valley, not the mountaintop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because at the mountaintop, there's a lot of fake people. Mm-hmm. Down in the valley, down in the gutter, down in the tough stuff. That's where people are real.
Yeah. Mm, that's beautiful. And I do love that even there, like your desire for truth, I mean, led you to truth from God's word, which is just huge. And talk to us about that process then, high school football coach.
Yeah.
Because all of us know somebody. There's young people out there that don't have a good family, that don't know the truth yet. Yeah. And we might play a role in some kid that, you know, we just see through our own children or in our community. How did all that come together? And maybe what can we learn from that for the people in our own lives?
I think, you know, not everybody is equipped, and it feels perhaps a disadvantage if you're not athletic. And so I can only speak to that environment. Thankfully, you know, I could play sports. I played football, basketball, and baseball. My older brothers also played one or two of those sports. And so we, even without the direction of a dad, I mean, we had an athletic family. And my dad was athletic. He played baseball and in high school and played Major League Baseball for a year or two. So we had that ingrained in us, much like your sons. I know your boys are athletes as well. But I just think there's such a benefit from that environment where particularly broken boys. I can speak from the boy part. I'm sure this is true for girls too, with volleyball and other things. But I remember just being in that football team, and there were only two or three of us that didn't have dads amongst the 50 or so guys that were on the team. I remember we used to do Father's Night. Maybe people remember that.
Yeah.
And for 4 years on varsity, I remember I'd be standing there with maybe just one other guy somewhere on the line, and we stood every 5 yards apart along that line facing the home field bleachers, and they'd say, you know, John Smith and his father tonight, Ed. And Ed would run out and hug his son. And for 4 years, they'd say, Jim Daly, who will not have a father here tonight.
Oh.
I was so happy for the other guys. It didn't bother me that their dad was there. I was happy for them. But I thought, wow, that must feel good to have your dad come out.
Yeah.
But didn't happen. So Coach Morrow, who was my sophomore, when I was a sophomore, I played quarterback, and he just got into me. I mean, he was a tough coach. He grabbed my face mask. If you are going to lead this team, then you must finish wind sprints first. Do you understand me? Yes, sir. You know, but I'd say he called me out to become not a boy, but more of a man. And physically that was true, but emotionally as well. And so, you know, he was the first person that really got a hold of my heart and ended up scholarshipping me to a fellowship, a Christian athletes camp in California, right along the beach. And I remember just going to the camp. There's probably 50 guys there. And I remember a professional quarterback, ironically, someone from the NFL was there speaking many years ago. And he just said, hey, you know, I'm sure your dad has let you down, and maybe even your stepdad has let you down. Maybe your foster dad has let you down. I was going, gosh.
He's speaking right to me.
And he said, I'll introduce you to somebody who'll never let you down, and that's Jesus. And I just, like, I did it. I went down to the front. I said, I want that relationship. I'd heard the soft raindrops of that for a few years. And then, boom, I got this gusher of a thunderstorm that night and committed my life to the Lord. And I wobbled. I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't go out and party on Friday nights and Saturday and then go to church on Sunday and say, Lord, I'm sorry I drank those beers. You know, but that was part of my process of filtering out all the stuff I had. And so it was a good start. And then when I got back, I studied abroad in Japan at Waseda, and I got back. And I really, at that point, at 22, that's when I really made my hard commitment for the Lord and have not looked back. But he is a father to the fatherless.
Yes.
He is awesome, and he is real. And my life is certainly a testimony of his.
It sure is. If you're like me, you've got nutrition on your mind in 2025. And also, if you're like me, you're really busy. If that's the case, then Factor has got you covered. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to simply heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfasts, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. Reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that can't be beat. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's right. Go to factormeals.com/factorpodcast and get 50% off using code FACTORPODCAST. Hey friends, well, since I have been talking about diveintomath.com for math and science curriculum for homeschoolers, I have heard from so many of you who have taken the leap and started using Dive curriculum and your kids love it. I am so excited to hear that because my boys have also loved Dive for both math and science through the AP level. Now, if you haven't chosen a homeschool curriculum yet for math or science, or you're ready to switch it up, I encourage you to check out what our friend Dr. Shorman has to offer over at diveintomath.com. Dr. Shorman offers a biblical and historical foundation for both math and science, and he teaches the why of learning math, which makes a world of difference. Shorman Math is self-paced with state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman. My boys loved that they learned everything they needed without extra fluff, and they liked the 4-day school weeks as well. So head over to diveintomath.com, check out everything they have to offer. And you didn't go immediately into ministry, but I cannot help but see that God prepared you for the work that you do now so well, because Focus on the Family is all about all of these things and coming alongside families who have needs and foster care and adoption. So tell us a little bit about that. How do you feel like your heart has been prepared, or how has this worked in the work you do now?
Yeah. Well, the first thing was, all the way back to that story, you know, when I talked to Dr. Dobson about the role, outside I put on a good front. Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be terrific. Thank the Lord. And inside I was going, inadequate, unprepared, not the right guy, no PhD. I have an MBA. I didn't have a PhD in child development. Mm-hmm. So the inadequacies of where I was coming from, the brokenness, I didn't have an intact family. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the Lord speaking clearly to my heart, saying, I remember the night before the handoff, the baton ceremony, I didn't sleep a wink. Mm-hmm. And Gene was asleep the whole night next to me. I thought, don't you know the pain I'm in? But I just laid there all night, eyes open, not a wink. And I remember having this conversation with the Lord. I was just saying, Lord, I shouldn't do this. I'll go in tomorrow. I'll resign. I'll decline taking this job. And I remember the Lord, I don't know how the Lord speaks to your heart, the Holy Spirit, but for me, it's usually like a wafting. It feels like a thought that's traveling through my mind. Mm. And this thought came to me and it was, it's not about you. I went, whoa, what? Mm-hmm. It's not about you. I own it all. Mm-hmm. I own what's broken, like your life, and what's whole, like Dr. Dobson's life.
Wow.
Because he talked about coming from a good, solid family, not a perfect family, but a solid, intact, loving mom and dad family.
Right.
So like the Lord even captured that from my own heart, just that inadequacy. Mm. And it just settled it for me. I remember getting up the next day, walking in. We had a media interview, the AP reporter. There's like 40 media people there. And the first question I got was, how are you going to fill his shoes?
Wow.
I remember going, I don't think I can. I need my own pair of shoes. Okay.
I like it.
And, you know, that's just so how good. It is. You know, you can't be somebody else. But it was, I think that whole thing, the Lord calmed me down and I realized that he had given me almost every family type to live in. For this moment, I was in the normal dysfunctional home with a mom and dad, a divorced home with a single parent mom. I then lived with a stepdad. Then I was in foster care, then lived with my brother, moved back with my dad for a year. Then he passed away. So as I put it into that context, I was like, Lord, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You gave me a taste. Of every family type.
Every family
except type. Living with a grandparent because we don't have those.
Right.
We didn't have grandparents. So, you know, it was really weird to think of it from a different angle, just shifting that around.
Perfectly
and him
prepared.
Settling my heart to say, I did this all for a reason.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. There we go. That's so good. I love that. How about marriage? I've been curious, because you touch on that a little bit in the book, but how did you figure out how to be a good husband when you didn't exactly have examples of that?
Yeah. Well, we have Gene on the line to tell you about my shortcomings. I think my wife, one of the things that Jean has said to me is she is amazed at how stable I am as a person, how healthy I am, given everything I went through. Yeah. And, you know, all I could say is, I think that's all God.
Yeah.
You know, reading the Proverbs, reading the Word, understanding the Word, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will light your path.
Yep.
That became my life verse through high school, every way.
Wow.
And even how Gene and I met, a pastor in Southern Cal, I was going to a church, Arrowhead Christian Fellowship, Jim Cobray. And it was a small church at the time. His church was a mega church, 20,000 in San Bernardino, California. But I remember going to his church. I didn't know him well. It was probably the third Sunday. And he came up to me during the worship service. And the mic was on, which was important because I got a cassette tape of this. But he came up to me and he said, The Lord has your wife picked out for you, and she'll have a heart for the things of God. Mm. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'd already made a commitment to go through life single
if I could. Really?
So I'm sitting there going, I'm not even looking for a girl. I'm not dating anybody. Wow. This guy's crazy. And he went on to say a couple of other things that have come to pass. Hmm. But that was a Wednesday night. On Saturday, I was at a wedding for a friend. I was the best man at this wedding. And they wanted to introduce me to somebody. And so we were introduced. I said hi. She said hi. That was it. That was Jean. That was 3 days after this prophetic word. And then she wasn't dating either. And Christian, committed Christian. Mm-hmm. 9 months later, we went out together as a foursome.
Okay.
And went to a concert. And Jean and I both said that after that night, we both knew we were going to get married.
Wow. And I love that story.
That's God's even little romantic wedding story. So
that is so good. And wasn't that an Amy Grant concert? Is that right?
It was an Amy Grant concert, But I was just saying, He looks after all those details.
He does.
And He loves each one of us. I'm nothing special. Mm-hmm. He loves you just like He has loved me.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of yielding everything to Him. Even that, my heart about girls, that was an area I had to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Because in high school, it was out of control, early parts of college, until I really made that strong commitment to the Lord. And I was doing it as best as I could. I was giving Him that over and saying, okay, I'm going to behave. I'm going to give this to you. And it was like 2 years that I had not dated in college.
Wow.
And then I met Jean.
There we go.
And it's just, that's the Lord's heart for all of us. Take one step of faith toward me, and I will overwhelm you with my love and my blessings.
Yeah.
And so it's been an awesome
year. And you shared your whole story with her, I'm sure. She knew what she was getting into.
Oh, her mom didn't like it.
I mean, I'm just going to say, as a mom of young adult sons who are not married, there's that protection. You're like, what? I mean, if I heard your story coming into my family, I might be a little concerned as well.
Well, you would think, rascal and probably dark side, and there's got to be something lurking in there.
Sure.
Because he may have been beaten as a child. And you know what? Some of those things could be true for people. That does happen.
Yes.
And we end up becoming what we learn to become, right? Except for, but for God.
Amen.
And when God breaks those chains, you are a new creature.
Yeah.
And that's what's so awesome. I don't have to be those ugly things. I am not an alcoholic. I do not look at pornography. I do not have those kind of deep wounds. And I think it's only because of the Lord filling in those gaps, taking care of those holes in my heart.
Yes.
Somehow, supernaturally, He just did that for me.
That's right. And you partnered with Him by taking those steps and filling your heart with His word and surrounding yourself with good people. And
And you know, Monica, I would say this for everybody. I think the Lord smiles when you are in a bad spot. when you're in that valley that I talked about a moment ago, and you can still trust him and love him, that your love and your trust in him is not conditional with your circumstances.
Right.
When you can smile when it's really bad, when you can love him when it's really bad, he, I believe, is smiling back at us because he's got us in his hand at that point. There's nothing the enemy can do. There's nothing this world can do. There's nothing your flesh can do to separate you from his love. And it's an amazing place to be. It's the place to be.
It is.
And then we just need to rest in it.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. There's a quote I've shared on social media. I don't know even who it's by. As far as I know, it's anonymous. But it says, if you didn't come from a healthy family, make sure a healthy family comes from you. And with that, maybe just bring us up to speed. You've got grown sons yourself. How did you, you know, obviously you had God's word, but any other resources or what helped you raise these boys and and nurture your own marriage so that you have the healthy family you have today?
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems I think we have, especially in Christian leadership, pastors, Christian leaders, we try to project some kind of perfection that's not really there. And then there's some story and everybody's kind of like, whoa, I didn't think that person was like that. So I'm saying that to say we're all imperfect people. I could be the president of a family ministry. If you talk to Jean, there were times in our marriage where she would say and did say to me, I love you. I don't really like you right now.
Yeah.
That's not what I married.
Sure.
And it wasn't anything ugly or gross. It was just she felt neglected or I wasn't paying attention to her. And, you know, I was into my job. It's the normal stuff.
Yeah,
there wasn't
still
anything
a
weird. But, you know, so I just preface that with that statement.
Sure.
That, you know, first of all, we're all broken. We all learn. And that's one of the pieces of advice. How do you keep growing in your marriage? How do you improve? Do you have an appetite to improve? Or is it over? You're going to give up. And what a stupid move that's going to be. And the cost of that, especially for your kids, look at the data. They don't do well after you get divorced, period.
No.
So why put your kids through that?
Yes.
Do the little bit of work in your marriage that will make it stronger. And it's not big stuff.
Yeah.
Speak life over your wife or your spouse. Speak life over your children. Don't be negative. Talk to them spiritually. I would say the other thing is, especially as a parent, and this is one that we all struggle with, don't make your love conditional. If you behave the right way, then I will love you. And they know. They know.
They do.
You've got to say, I will love you. You're going to do some things that are going to hurt me, and I may not always respond well to that because it hurts me. But I'm here for you. I'm in your corner no matter what. And, you know, if a child really feels that, they may test it. But I think in the end, like the word says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I just think I've seen that in my own boys. We have a great relationship. They tell me things that sometimes I want to go, what?
Of course.
But I don't. I don't. Yeah. I say, wow, that's really, you know, did you learn something from that? Or how did the Lord speak to your heart about that? And that, to me, is a much better way to parent a child. Keep that tether of love connected.
Yeah.
The Lord himself says to us, above all, is love. You know, faith, hope, and love. The highest thing that we can do for one another is to love each other.
That's right.
But we make it conditional. But the Lord loves us, even in our nastiness. So the boys are doing great. Thanks for asking. Trent's doing fantastic. He's entering into a master's program for biochemistry. His goal is PhD, MD in neuro research. Would love to work at Neuralink for Elon Musk.
There we go.
And do interface with AI in the human brain. So there you go. He doesn't get that from his dad. That's a mom thing. But he's doing great, and he's on his way, and he's a great young man and super, just super. And Troy is my writer. He loves literature. He's written a couple of books. He hasn't published them yet.
Okay.
But he just loves – he's the deep thinker, philosopher, believer. Both of them are believers. But I just love what they're blossoming into in their 20s here.
It's so fun. It's been my favorite season as well. Okay. Well, I want to let you go, but maybe just a quick word. I know there's somebody listening who's either, you know – going through something really hard, or maybe they have kids, maybe adoptive or foster kids who have been through some real trauma.
Yeah.
What kind of encouragement would you give the mom right now?
Wow. That's a great question. You know, Gene and I, especially in Foster, I remember talking to people through the broadcast of Focus saying, for Christian families to really consider getting into foster care, because there's 400,000 foster kids, there's 350,000 churches. Mm-hmm. That's just a little over one child per church. Yeah, could we not do that?
Right.
And of those available for adoption, it's 110,000, I think, is the number right now. Wow. So that's one adoption every three churches. Yeah. But it's tough. And Jean reminded me of that. I got home after that broadcast aired and she heard it. And she goes, you know, if you're going to ask other families to sacrifice like that, we should do it. Wow. And I was going, no, no, man. I was the foster kid. I paid my dues. I'm done. Mm. And she went, you know, really, that doesn't cut it. Mm. Man, isn't that a good wife?
Wow, that's a good
one. And I said, okay, what do we got to do? She said, well, we got to get licensed and we'll do it. And over the 10 years that followed, we probably had 15 kids in and out of our home. We had two sibling sets for long periods of time, one for over 3 years.
Wow.
And it taught us a lot about our own shortcomings. But the encouragement I would have for moms and dads involved in this and maybe thinking about it, it'll help you grow spiritually better than any other thing. And it's not going to be pretty. Mm-mm. You're going to see things in yourself that deal with selfishness, comfort over ministry, all those things. But in the end, when you see that child smile or you see that child knowing that they can receive love.
Yeah.
And if you weren't in their life, they may go through the entire foster system, age out at 18, and have never had somebody that they felt like really loved them. Mm-hmm. And we're the church.
Yeah.
That's the least we should be able to do is love these kids.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And that's God's heart. I mean, he's adopted all of us into his family. And what better way to be Christ-like? Wow.
So true. So go for it. There's no normal on the box with foster care. I checked, believe me. It's head knocker, food hoarder, sexual orientation issues. They come with a lot of brokenness, and they just want to know one answer. Do you love me even if?
Yeah. So. Wow. Beautiful. Well, Jim, it is such an honor to get to hear some of your story. I recommend everyone read your book, Finding Home. Just it's so full of just nuggets of wisdom. And, you know, of course, it might make you cry a little bit, but it's beautiful and eye-opening. And also just the work you do at Focus on the Family. Thank you so much. Where do you point people? If somebody's not already tuning in to Focus and they don't know what you're doing there, maybe give a quick word about the ministry happening right now.
Yeah, there's so many good things going on. The best thing, Focus, if you think about it, and I've always said this to the boards over the years, this place is just a gigantic resource center for people who are needing help.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed. Come. We've been in this effort for 47 years. There's nothing that we haven't heard. But it's just a treasure trove of help for you. We've got caring Christian counselors that will spend an hour or two with you on the phone, talk you through the issues, give you advice on what to do next, can refer you to other counselors. The podcast, we have 19 podcasts, different people, Greg and Aaron Smalley on marriage, Danny Huerta on parenting. It's just come and explore.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it. We have age and stage content now for parents. You can come and put your two-year-old's birthday in there, and we'll age that record and send to you content about raising a two-year-old, raising a five-year-old. Wow. We'll take you all the way to 18, and you will have become an expert in parenting, trust me.
That is so awesome.
There's nothing that we don't want to help you with. Fundamentally help you in your walk with the Lord, because that's where it all begins.
That's right.
And we're always eager. Call us. Awesome. Go to the website, focusonthefamily.com.
That's right. I love it. My boys would add to that. Make sure your kids grow up on Adventures in Odyssey.
That's super popular. I'll tell you, millions of kids over the years have listened to that. We're going to come out with an animation a version of Odyssey next year. So it's being done right now by former Disney animators. It's going to be good.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah, those stories shaped my boys' lives. So
the writers are so good with that show. They're really good.
It's excellent. Well, Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I've been encouraged.
Thank you so much, Monica. God bless you.
God bless you. And aloha.
Yeah.
right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation and you will find links to Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, all the things that we chatted about over in show notes at monicaswanson.com/Jim-Daly. And that's D-A-L-Y. Okay, we've got many more great episodes coming up this month. So don't be a stranger. Stay tuned. And also be sure to check in on the first and third Thursdays of each month on Instagram stories. I do Q&As and I have such a great time answering all kinds of questions. So hope you'll come visit me over there and you can find me at @MonicaSwanson_. All right, guys, God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
The line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 footlong deal. That's right, order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies, ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app, any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants, Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax, additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks, limited time.